afternoon. Today is Friday, September the 5th, 275th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, kind of out of order a little bit here.
Not to my doing, though.
I see.
Blame it on our city manager because he's down in a meeting in Southern California, so I graciously arranged to take his spot.
Oh, I see. You're bagging on him, but not too hard. Because
the privileged recipient of being here today.
Oh, privileged, huh? Good. Well, we'll work that one over pretty hard. In case you don't recognize him, Humble Bay Fire Chief, Mr. Ken Woods, is with us. Got, I'm sure, lots of things to talk about. Drugs, bodies, mayhem.
Always.
Paving.
We're always on our forefront.
Yeah. A little bit of fire?
A little bit.
Yeah, it's nice to have the room going, so at least we don't have that orange haze. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, good. Good. Well, hopefully that'll translate to an interesting program when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
All right, I'll pay attention. Good afternoon. Oh, was it open when I said that? All right, no. I'm just trying to get myself warmed up for yet another wonderful program.
Exciting.
With the chief.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Oh, that's okay. Everybody knows now I have to self-motivate.
Right.
Let's see. Our quote this afternoon. Let's see if I can find something here. I'm not feeling in a love and friendship kind of mood.
No?
Sorry.
Maybe next week when I'm not here.
Yeah. Probably not then either. Here we go. Benjamin Disraeli. Quote, "The fool wonders, the wise man asks."
Can't argue with that.
All right. So how's life been the last whatever?
Life has been good. We've been busy. Interesting calls, different things that are not the everyday run-of-the-mill.
Are you getting feedback about the smoke and the fire, the Klamath fire and stuff, just because it's there now?
Yeah, we're getting more questions, particularly the state of the fire, and are we sending resources, that type of thing. But currently we're not. That is a federal fire up there, so they are handling it. Cal Fire as well really doesn't have too many resources up there. And the Forest Service deals with their fires differently than how Cal Fire would. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
And, but there's
yeah,
a lot
it
of
was a there's twinkle a, in your eye that gave that one
lot,
away. But
there's a lot of smoke in the area.
Yeah, amazing, isn't
right.
it? Yeah,
right.
You're saying Smokey Bear doesn't wear a fire jumpsuit?
He's not working 24 hours a day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is a different approach, isn't it?
It is different. Okay. It is a different mindset and a different philosophy.
Is there any discussion, Ken, about, and I don't know if you'd be involved, but I'm sure you'd hear the scuttlebutt, about things such as, do we allow salvage harvesting after this? Do we go in? Do we manage the forest? Do we take some of the fuel load off the deck so when we do get in these situations,
right.
or now that we are in a dry, that we don't have another one of these fires that can just take off?
Yeah, we obviously don't get involved in that, but we do hear about it. And of course, you know, recent news stories about the spotted owl and harvesting trees that have been particularly with the rim fire that occurred in Yosemite. They want to go in and harvest all the burned trees, but others want to keep those trees as habitat for the spotted owl, and it becomes that push-pull confrontation.
All
that takes
place
there.
Look up here
there.
At this goofy thing and see what doing that does.
Yeah. Right.
Like you said, different philosophies,
it,
huh?
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
You're definitely not going to bag on anybody today, are you?
Well, not yet, but we'll keep working on it. We'll see how far you keep pushing me here. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Are there, now I know Quimby will say two truths can coexist simultaneously.
That sounds like a Lewis, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But when it comes to fire management,
mm-hmm.
can there be two different management styles that are both equally successful, that are so different?
I think there can be. I think a lot of it depends on the circumstances at the time, and then what your end goal will be. You know, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to save? All those components will fit into the larger picture down the road. But really, as just as we have concerns, disagreements on any type of thing, you're going to have them in the fire service. And should we fight the fire this way? Should we directly go at it? Try to, you know, cut trees in front of it, start backfires, use those to try to put the fire out. Do we let it burn? Do we let it move into vegetation that hasn't burned in years? And then does that then reduce the fire load down the road? So I think we've seen those philosophies that have come and go, and they change on a regular basis. And just like for us with CPR, CPR rules change almost yearly. You know, for a while it's ventilations and compressions. Now it's all compressions. And then a new study is done and it goes a different way. And just like anything, you'll have more research, more experimentation, and more people with specific interests.
You can't filibuster until the break on this one. You know that.
I can't.
No.
Let's talk about something in town.
I thought it was called fire science.
It is. Well, fire science encompasses a lot of things. It's not just the wildland side.
But
you know,
the science, wouldn't it dictate, here's what you do, here's what the outcome is? It's not called fire art.
It is, but you look at the debate on science and anything, and it continues to this day, so you can't pin me down on that.
I see. So Big Bang Theory in the woods.
In the woods.
Okay.
For now.
One of the things that I've always enjoyed with local fire guys and cop guys is that everybody's on the same page. You talk, you train, everybody kind of knows what's going on. You know, you may not like the guy, but at least you know what
right.
he's doing, and you can work together as a team.
Right.
Does that happen across these jurisdictional lines? Because it seems like they're playing on a softball field, and you guys are playing in a major league ballpark, and somebody else is over here on the college AstroTurf field.
Yeah, it does when you get down to the very specifics of a particular community. You know, those ins and outs and idiosyncrasies can change some. I was recently talking to a department in Texas, for instance, where they're implementing mobile health care, and it's a totally different philosophy for us. But the basics of firefighting and medical care still stay there.
Water on fire?
Water on fire still continues to work.
Good.
Till we run out of water.
Yeah. Hope you're not spending billions on that research.
Not yet.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, with the fires that are going around in the region, does that reinforce the concern that everybody has got, the heightened awareness, all that? Are you seeing behavioral changes in the various communities, or is it still, nah, that's over there, that's not over here?
Yeah, I think, it depends on the community. And for us, you know, we have a better water supply. We have a better reserve of water here. But you go just a short distance east, and the threat just really grows in a very short period of time. And so there is a heightened awareness, I think, overall with individuals. And a lot of it is because of the drought and the overall message on water. But particularly as you continue to go to those areas that have had fires near them, around them, a lot of fires that have cropped up in the north part of the state. People are scared to death. And as we continue to go further into the season, it's just going to get worse without the water. And, you know, we're really just starting to get into our normal fire season here on the north coast.
So what does early November look like?
Well, the forecasts right now are for very little rain, and we're going to see grass that continues to grow taller and taller. The moisture content in fuels will be lower and lower, and those fuels are really volatile and almost explosive when you get the right conditions, the low humidity, the high temperatures.
It's like the dried out Christmas tree.
It is. It really is. And we saw a bulletin the other day from Cal Fire regarding just explosive type conditions out there that firefighters normally don't see. And it's really something that the firefighters have to take into account. Fires are where they would normally go into and could potentially take a fire head on, attack it from the front. You're not going to be able to do that because of the explosive conditions. And
just moving too quick?
Exactly. Moving too quick. And not only, you know, normally you have wind and the wind will push that fire, but now because of those very low moisture levels and the dry condition, that fire will just go in all directions in a very short period of time.
So with that potential that's out there, do you contain or do you try to go out, you know, if one of those things starts here, do you climb into the middle of it and try to knock it down the way you would a fire, let's say, 5 months ago?
Yeah, no, it's much more cautious in containment because those fires are, again, very volatile, and crew safety is number one. You want to make sure your firefighters are safe so they can continue to be there and deal with a fire, but you're not going to be those attacking those kind of fires from the ground like you would otherwise. You're seeing a lot more use of aircraft and really reliance on helicopters and aircraft to try to get out in front, lay down some retardant, and the crews coming in from the side to try to contain it, but they're not going to be out front of those things.
The state pretty much is all in the same general condition, if you will.
Yeah.
So as we get the Santa Ana wind season.
Right.
And everything going on down in the southern part of the state.
Right.
As well as we have here, I would imagine mutual aid
is
going to be fictional, probably, because you got to stay at home, because if this hits here,
yeah,
you got to have guys here.
Yeah.
Just as they have to have guys there. So how does that one work out if everybody's at this heightened level of concern?
Part of it comes to the pre-positioning of resources that the state will do based on those red flag conditions. So they may take strike teams, whether it be a group of five engines at a time, and they'll deploy those to a specific area where they're expecting those very dry conditions, very high winds, and try to get an early deployment on fires before they grow into a large size. But you're absolutely right. Southern California really hasn't hit their season, and that's coming up normally October, early part of November, when those Santa Ana winds blow. And they take a lot of resources down there because of the population and the exposure to communities. And if we get, you know, several large fires burning across the state, resources will be spread extremely thin. And you know, they're going to be looking to other states to bring people in as well.
That's what I was going to ask. So it goes across state jurisdictions?
It does. There are agreements between states to provide resources to each other. But again, a lot of the time we've seen in Southern Oregon is they've had their own battles with fires, and Washington too as well, the eastern side of Washington. So, you know, that may not be a possibility for us if we get quite a few fires in the western United States burning. Those resources are going to be spread extremely thin.
So as you're anticipating what's coming around the corner here,
right,
how do you do? Force everybody to take their vacations now so that everybody's going to be in the neighborhood if you got to call people up, or if you lose an engine to somewhere down south?
It is. We force people to stay at work. You know, when we have a shift change and we have an engine out covering a Cal Fire station, our people don't go home. They have to stay and cover the engines that we need to maintain a base level here in town. So you're exactly right.
So where's your staffing level?
it's.
Are you guys full?
We are full right now, but it's a challenge. You know, what's a plus for us right now is schools coming back into session and vacations are starting to end for people. So we get a lot of our firefighters who have families that normally would take vacations in the summertime back onto their normal shift. So that helps us out. But we're fully staffed at this point. But when we send out an engine into the state to help out either CAL FIRE or to go to one of those large fires, we backfill that resource and we keep that engine staffed here in town, a reserve engine to cover just for the things that are happening here.
So if somebody puts in for a vacation, you just kind of laugh a little bit?
Yeah, sometimes. Right. Right.
Yeah, sometimes laughter is a physical response.
Yes,
isn't it?
It is.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:36. Back to Talk Shop this afternoon with noted traveler Ken Woods.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you just kind of laid it all out there in the last segment, and then you decide to start Damocles' sword right in action there.
Yeah, I should know better.
Yeah, you know, your timing's really, really weak.
Yeah, it is.
So when the cat's away, do the junior cats all just kind of step up, or do you assign someone to fulfill your role?
I have two assistant chiefs that when I'm gone, they really take over and run the operation. You know, we really function as a team. The whole fire service is dependent on teamwork, and when I'm gone, they can fill right in and fill into those spots and keep things going, and I can feel comfortable that should the big earthquake or something like that happen, we have our plans, we have our policies, procedures, and they'll be executed, and we'll need to do what we need to do there.
You on recall?
I'm always listening. Always.
Okay.
Yeah.
The big one.
Yeah.
Just in case.
I have an app on my phone with a scanner. I can be
Across
the world, and I can listen to the radio traffic as it's happening. So, which is
that's
nice.
That's kind of weird.
It is, but
you really can't get away then.
No, you know, it's the job, and I I would feel very uncomfortable if I couldn't be listening and have some sense of what's going on at home. So I know and.
So the deal is you get half an hour a day on the computer?
Yeah, 15 minutes, right. Yeah. 15 minutes, let's say. Yeah.
Well, at least in the morning and then the
afternoon. To touch base, yeah, and then go from there.
Okay. Oh, boy. So what's the last little bit been like? Mike Downey was on yesterday lamenting the amount of homicides or death, whether by car or by gun, or by knife, or whatever, by stupid, you know, whatever it happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
How's it been for you this summer?
It's been busy. Again, the medicals continue to be our number one type of calls that we respond to, but a number of homeless encampment fires on a regular basis that we respond to.
Same in places?
Widening area of town.
So they're moving?
Yeah, they're moving out and into areas that, you know, we haven't seen before. We're seeing more medicals in a wider range of areas. So it's more and more of those type calls, you know, whether they're drug-related, seizures, alcohol, those types of things that we're seeing in a wider range.
Homeless or across the board? Everybody?
Yeah, homeless. We do see more service-related calls, lift assists, things like that with elderly individuals as well. Those are always increasing.
So as you're seeing the camp or encampments relocating, that's guess, kind of the intended byproduct of what the Chief Mills is doing.
Right.
Are these in areas that you were anticipating that you would see activity, or are they, these folks getting into areas that are surprises?
You know, we would normally expect the homeless encampments to be more towards the downtown area where there's businesses and other resources there. We're seeing them further out. We're seeing them near Redwood Acres. We're seeing them out in the McKay Track area. We're seeing them more down in south by Fields Landing, for instance, along the water down there. So it's a much greater range and a much spread out where we normally would see it in a very smaller concentrated area.
So less density in the number of encampments, but when you come on site, are there as many individuals?
They're not as many in those outlying areas. They are not, but there's still significant concentrations in the normal areas behind the mall, foot of T Street, areas like that. But again, we're seeing more of them spread out into further reaches of where we respond to.
So how does that play out? You got longer to haul.
Yeah, we've got longer to haul. We've got, you know, it's just tougher access where behind the mall, you know, we've got a dirt road back there we can get into. We're familiar with it. But when we respond, for instance, into the McKay Track area, that's new territory. There's different trails and roads and places for us to try to get to that are not always easy and accessible. So when we do have fires, we're pulling more hose. It requires transporting water a longer distance. And we're seeing it just as well with the McKay Track and that opening up to more recreation out there. We had a medical incident there yesterday. A mountain biker who had fallen and hit his head was very far out in distance-wise from the entrance there off of Harris. We had an extremely difficult time trying to locate him, and we had GPS coordinates, but we couldn't get there. The roads just petered out, turned into trails. We had no access. We ended up, fortunately, having CAL FIRE come out with their helicopter. They were able to extract the victim and take him to St. Joe's, but it would have been an all-night event for us to get out there, drive to the closest point we could, and then hike out from there and then try to bring that individual back. Fortunately, it was still daylight when the helicopter could get there and take him to the hospital.
So that wasn't homeless related.
That one wasn't homeless. That was an activity. But as you see that McKay Track area begin to open up more as it becomes a community forest, we're already starting to see more medical calls, more transient encampment fires out there, more just a wider variety and frequency of calls occurring.
KINS News and Information Times 343. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 346. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, some of the different, I guess, systems you guys have to conform in. Okay, you got the McKay Track, which is, I still say it's going to be very problematic. Mm-hmm. I just know it. You know, you mentioned some of the homeless encampments. I see them put, you know, we're seeing shopping carts being pushed.
Right.
In areas we have not seen shopping carts being
absolutely
pushed. Okay.
Right.
So things are changing, mm-hmm, as some of us were concerned about.
Right.
Okay. So you got that in lay. You've got this huge territory.
Yeah. Huge.
Understand that right now the county has not allowed any additional dollars for law enforcement in the area. Okay. You got this guy out in the middle of nowhere. You can't get to him.
Right.
You know, if CAL FIRE is off doing what they normally do.
Yeah.
Putting out
fires.
We're
fortunate to have the helicopter.
You
here.
Guys, or he, rather, yeah, is kind of,
it's going to be
SOL
out there. Yeah.
You know, and you can't do a whole heck of a lot with that.
No.
It sounds like additional resources would be needed.
Right.
Whether it's buying gear and then having somebody ride out and hopefully they've got the stuff that you need.
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera. The medical aid part of this thing, is it adequately staffed? Does it have enough resources? Because it almost sounds like it's a whole different area of expertise, almost a different division, if you will, within the fire department.
It is. The fire, though, has really, you know, embraced the medical side since the days of emergency and paramedics in the 70s, and we've evolved into that as well. So it is, it's such a big part of what we do. But we do have the resources in-house, but the key to that is having versatility. So our firefighters, you know, that are not only trained to put out fires, but are trained on the medical side. And so we don't have to have separate people for every different type of response that we go on.
Well, if you pull a fire truck to go out there, now somebody's exposed to the wind.
Somebody is, and that's why we set up automatic aid agreements where we bring other units into town automatically. You know, it does get to a point where you're saturated and you just cannot cover all the calls. And for instance, you know, when they had the earthquake in Napa a few weeks ago, obviously with 192 victims injured, they were overwhelmed so quickly, they just couldn't deal with it. And people were not getting, they were calling 911, but they weren't getting immediate help. For us being isolated, we're not in the Bay Area, much smaller resource pool. It's going to happen here much more quickly, and it's a concern for us. How do we deal with that? How do we plan for that? And again, part of it is having our employees train. Go ahead.
If there's an earthquake, you don't leap out of bed before you look down and see what's there?
See what's on the floor? Yeah.
Was it three were injured and everybody else was self-inflicted?
Right. The glass.
I mean, come on, guys. Yeah. I mean, you know. Yeah. Now, granted, they're not as familiar with earthquakes as what we are.
Right.
But come
on. It's those common sense things, exactly, of being prepared. And people have to do that up here because when they call 911 in one of those big emergency events, we're not going to be coming. They're going to be on their own for a while.
We have it cleaned up before you guys show up.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Right.
You know, some of the smaller events and stuff. So what sense do you have here about the general state of things at this point?
You know, I think
we're looking at the remaining couple of months here,
the fire potential continues to increase every day. It's more of a concern, and it's going to be on our forefront as we go forward. And people need to be extra careful out there.
Well, speaking of being extra careful, don't fall off any or slide through any rails that you might encounter in the next couple of weeks or so.
I'll try to be as safe as I possibly can.
Or if you do,
can.
Make a big splash so everybody knows what's going on.
I appreciate your concern.
Oh,
thank you.
You know, I'll be holding my breath until you come back.
I bet.
Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you'll see you tomorrow.